Welcome to the official Farming Simulator Podcast, your source for news, insights, interviews, and more. Brought to you by Giant Software. You can listen to us on our website, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Once a month, we'll bring you another episode.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Farming Simulator Podcast. My name is Lars Meinschereck, or Lizardton, and I'm here with our Kerminator, Mr. Kermit. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Good to be back. I think I haven't been on the podcast for a while now. It's nice to be back, and this time Chucky is not here. Happens. But we do have amazing guests. We're going to talk about them a little bit later, because first of all, we should talk about all the exciting news that we had over the couple of weeks behind us, shouldn't we?
Yeah, and we have a lot of really cool news, things to talk about, to be honest. It's, middle of February. Actually, February is almost over, and man, we're finally getting this news rolling out, and we're kind of like saving it all for one big go here. So buckle up. We've got some big stuff to talk about, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Where do we start? We should start with Göweihe. Just because I can pronounce it and you can't. The Göweihe DLC, which is the first DLC of our Season 2 Season Pass and the first DLC of 2023. And it comes out on the 21st of March and it will be all about baling.
Yeah, I think this looks really cool. I like baling and Farming Simulator is one of my favorite things to do in the game, especially if you're playing with friends, because it's one of those jobs that is just easier if you have multiple people to do it. But it's really cool to see this manufacturer from Austria joining. We're going to have 9 machines coming in from the manufacturer, Göweihe. That's my best attempt at it. You say
that was
it so
actually
much better.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Chalky helped out. You've seen that video going around. I think what's really cool about this DLC, though, Lars, is we've had the community say, like last year, you know, with some of the DLCs, they're like, you know, the brands are okay, but we want to see like more gameplay elements added as part of the DLCs too. So this one has a little bit of a mixture of both, you know, new brands, new machinery, and basically expanding on the techniques of baling in Farming Simulator, which is really cool.
Absolutely. And I do remember that when I started working here about 6 years ago, there was an ongoing discussion about balers that were just stationary, you know, and Göweihe does add that to the game. We're going to have stationary balers that you can put right next to your field or on your farm or wherever you want them to press your bales over there. And this is something that has been requested for years and years. And I'm quite happy that it's in there with Göweihe. And I'm quite sure a lot of people will really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think this will be helpful for the people that maybe, you know, have livestock in the game and they need to produce a lot of bales to feed them throughout the year. And having one of those just next to the shed where you're going to store the bales is going to save you time and maybe money even to like have to have a separate trailer to transport them. You know, you have to stack them on the trailer, then take them to where you want to store them and then unload them and then reload them again. This way, you know, you only have to stack them once basically in the shed. The cool thing is it adds so many different options. Farming Simulator is great because it's a game that you can kind of play how you want. And this DLC is going to give you several different options of different types of wrappers and things to do. The one that I really like, Lars, is the Göweihe G1015 that you attach to front loaders. This thing looks really interesting. It'll like transport the bales, wrap them and stack them all with one machine.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's something really unique that I've not really seen before in the game. So I'm looking forward to checking this one out as well.
Absolutely. But you know what, Kermit? You gave me a fantastic bridge and I have to cross it because you said you can play Farming Simulator 22 the way you want it. I would love to play it
as a mobile game.
What can we do? Oh, no.
Where are you going with this? Hold on. We need to stop and prepare for this because the internet might explode with what you're about to say.
It might, because Farming Simulator 23 is coming, and it is our mobile version, of course, coming this year. To be completely precise, on the 23rd of May.
Right.
We want to see Farming Simulator 23 hitting mobile phones. And yeah, it will be an interesting thing because so many of you guys out there are asking for this. I think ever since we released Farming Simulator 22 back in November 21, which is, you know, 1.5 years as of the recording of this podcast, people are asking, when next mobile game, basically? Where is the next mobile game? And here it is. It's out in May.
And it will be coming to the Switch as well. You mentioned mobile, so iOS, yeah. Android, and the Nintendo Switch. And yes. Yeah, like this is, if you go to like any of the YouTube videos that we've done about just any topic, the most random of topic not to do with a mobile game, more likely than not, if you look at the comments, the most consistent comment you're going to see is, when are you announcing the next mobile game? So here it is. We've done it. And hopefully you guys will be happy with it when it's in your hands on the 23rd of May as well. I'm excited for this one. Our mobile game just has, you know, everyone has a phone, for example, for one thing. So the amount of people that played Farming Simulator 20 and other mobile games is insane numbers.
Absolutely. I remember someone asking, do you guys don't have phones? But that was a complete different story, I think. But so, what are you going to play it on? I'm going to play it on Switch, I think. I haven't played a Farming Simulator on Switch yet, other than in the office, of course. But I really want to do it with that one. I am quite sure I'm going to play it on a Switch this time and not on my mobile phone. I usually play on Android, but this time I want to mix it up a bit and play on Switch.
Yeah, I have a Switch as well. Mostly my wife uses it and she does like Farming Simulator as well. So, but I have a feeling we're both going to be playing it. It'll be cool. I might even have to get a second one. We'll see. Because, you know, I do travel a lot for work too. But
don't,
you know,
we all.
Right. And speaking of travel, we're going to be, you set up the bridge this time and I'm crossing it. Man, we're just nailing it today. Speaking of travel, Giants is traveling to a couple of events in North America over the next few weeks, starting probably just about a week from when this podcast is released, is going to be the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. That runs from February 28th to March 19th. It's a pretty long event. Last year, I got to go out there with some of our colleagues. This year, we'll be back. I won't be there as of now. That's not the plan. I'm kind of like the backup person in case someone gets sick or so. But we do have Klaus from our event team coming over, and he's going to be running the show there. And this is an interesting event because, you know, it takes place over such a long period of time, nearly a month. But the reason for that is Texas is such a huge state. And what they do is they stagger their spring breaks from school for kids. And each week, the kids from, you know, a different area of Texas are on spring break and they come to Houston. They bring their livestock with them and they show the livestock off. And that's kind of why it lasts this long. But it's also such a huge event. There's a concert after like almost every night as well, with some big music stars, mainly country music, but some other genres as well. But yeah, we'll be out there. I think we're going to have the bale stacking challenge and some gaming stations for everybody to check the game out. So if you're in the area, definitely stop by.
Yeah, I didn't know that's the reason why it's so long. Today I learned.
There you go.
Awesome. Yeah, but you can't go to Houston because you are in Boston, my friend, because PAX East is coming as well. It starts on March 23rd, so technically a little bit after the Houston Rodeo Show, but still, that would be, you know, you wouldn't be back in the office. Right. Ever, basically. And it's March 23rd to March 26th, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And it's in Boston. It is, in my opinion, one of the best events ever in the United States. PAX is fantastic. That is true for all PAX, really. Right. I have only been to the one in Boston, to be fair. The others I've only seen videos, but PAX Boston is fantastic and you should totally show up, pay Kermit a visit, say hello, and yeah, play some Farming Simulator maybe.
I've actually been to the other North American PAXes, but never PAX East. So this will be my first time actually ever being in Boston. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. I've been to West a few times. I've been to South, which no longer exists. That one was a little bit more like smaller scale in San Antonio. But yeah, PAX is, you know, just over time, it started as the Penny Arcade Expo, which is a gaming, you know, culture kind of nerd culture related comic strip. And it started out with that, but now it's definitely become, after, you know, the demise of E3, as it started to go away and go downhill, it is coming back, but it's not what it used to be. Now PAX has taken over as like the premier gaming conventions in North America. And it's not just, you know, video gaming, it's tabletop gaming as well. But we're going to be there. It'll be myself and Jenny, who you sit near in the German office from our events team. She's flying over to help out with it. We're going to have a booth there with a couple of PCs for you to come and check out Farming Simulator 22. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. There's also several of our partners who are planning to come to the event. People from the English-speaking community like DJ Goham, the Farm Sim Guy, Farmer Cop, Farmer Klein, Jababo, and others are going to be at the event as well. So you might see them around the booth. And we're still working on finalizing some details for a community meetup of sorts outside of the event. So just be paying attention. Maybe actually the news will be out by the time this podcast is out, but just look up for the blog and social media for more details on the meetup if you happen to be in Boston. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. But this podcast is already getting kind of long, and I see Chris and Neil sitting here wondering if we will ever switch over to them. Yeah. Because we invited our sound team, Chris and Neil, to talk to Daniel Hren, who is the guy who creates the music for Farming Simulator, because we do have, as you know, quite a few songs in Farming Simulator. So, for example, the menu music and everything. And this is done by Daniel Hren, and he's here with our sound team, and they're going to talk to him about music production techniques and what is special about the collaboration between us and him. And afterwards, I think it's us two again, Kermit, talking about a couple of things while these guys enjoy their nice evening. So let's head over to Chris and Niels.
So thanks, guys. Here we are with the one and only Daniel Hren.
Thank you.
May I ask you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Daniel. I'm from Germany. I'm a music producer. I live in Bamberg since a long time. And I have a studio there, home recording studio, with all my gear, all I need to record and produce music for video games or bands, for example.
Ah, so it's full kind of music production. It's not only specific to game.
Yeah, actually, you can record a complete band in there. I mean, I cannot record drums, obviously, because it's a home studio and there are flats around and people living around. But since the 80s, we have something like MIDI.
Right. It's a really helpful, right?
It's a helpful tool. So you can just set MIDI triggers to drums and then you can...
Yeah, we saw a picture of your studio and you have like an e-drum kit, right? So yes. You play the drums live.
Yes,
but
of course.
They just trigger like samples then.
Yeah, exactly. So I have actually two drum kits, a MIDI drum kit, an electronic drum kit, and acoustic drum set. Sometimes I like to play acoustic drums, but you cannot do it so intense. So you really have to cover it with...
Like dampening,
so dampening the stuff.
It?
So right. Mostly when I record them, I do that kind of chassis things, which are not that loud. I mean, which is more
softer, lower dynamic,
really low down. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. And for those listeners out there who don't know this man, they would likely have heard your music already.
Absolutely,
because you created the music for the Farming Simulator 22, the main menu music.
Uh-huh.
So actually, we'll just quickly ask...
How did the collaboration start with yourself and Giants?
This is a really interesting story.
Awesome.
Everything starts actually by... I was interested in buying a synthesizer.
All right.
And
which one?
I was. It was the Roland JV-1080.
All right.
It's a synthesizer from the 90s.
Classic.
I think 19... 94, as I remember. And it's a really old rack synthesizer. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Because back in the 90s, they used it also for computer game music. And I was growing up with the PlayStation 1 and these kind of synthesizers they used for that kind of sounds. Anyway, I wanted to have this synthesizer. I was looking on eBay and then somebody sold that synthesizer for $300. It was Tiago. And Tiago was an audio producer at Giants.
Exactly.
And it was so funny because I didn't have the $300 for a synthesizer, but I had a tape machine next to me.
All right.
And I wanted to ask him if we maybe can exchange the tape machine and the synthesizer.
All right.
And he said, yeah, we can do that. And it was so funny. And he, we met together. And then, I don't know, we had a cool conversation. We made the exchange and everything. I had my synthesizer, hit the tape machine. And it was so funny because we were staying in contact. And then after a while, I was releasing an album with my old band I had back in the time. And he was listening to that album because, of course, I was we was in contact, and I just gave him all the information and the links to the album. And then one day there was a message, and he says, "Ah, do you think we can use parts of this album for maybe the Farming Simulator or project?" And I was saying, of course you can, no problem. And then after a while he said, hey, but can you maybe compose something specially for us? I said, yes, I can, it's not a problem. And then this is actually how it goes. And then we started to compose the first music for the Academy. Mm-hmm. And after that, the main menu song.
So nice. Organic,
yeah,
like a nice natural relationship.
Yeah,
very much.
We're still in contact.
Kind of unique story.
Yeah,
how it developed.
That's it. Do you still have the synthesizer though?
Yeah, of that's course. It's one of my
prized possessions.
Yeah, sure. I love it. I still produce with that because I really love that a 90s sound. Also, when I'm working on my own stuff, I use it a lot. It has this, I don't know, it has this 90s magic.
Yeah. Yeah, even a lot of the pre-made sounds, so to speak, the presets, you can even hear like directly taken from those old PlayStation games, like you said. Because it was used a lot by Japanese studios, wasn't it? I think back in the UK, for sure.
People like Akira Yamaoka.
Exactly.
Yeah, for example, used that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Very cool.
All right, let's maybe start at the beginning. So how did you get started with music in general? So did you have any major influences or how did you get into music production?
Yeah, basically I was influenced, of course, by my father.
All right.
So he played a lot of instruments and I was growing up with drums and guitars everywhere around. And but I think the most important thing is that I really love to record all that stuff. So it's not only to have and play that instrument. I'm not a really good musician, actually. I play guitar and drums and but I'm not the best guitar player or the best drum player or the best synthesizer player out there. So I always wanted to actually not only record instruments, I think I wanted to record sounds in the first place. So I wanted to record something for the future so you can listen to it. Mm-hmm. And this is the main reason I got into that studio stuff. And of course, when you want to record something for the future and you're working with instruments, you're trying to create songs and like journeys. I mean, I don't make that kind of in general, that kind of party songs, for example. If I record music or produce music, it's more like a journey, you know. All the instruments are together and you just close your eyes and listen to it. And I want that the people really listen to the music and not only listen to the music while having party or
exactly.
You know, I
sense that. I think even from the menu music, it's a musician's song. In a way, it's rather than just a commercial kind of template, which is good and serves a purpose. But yeah, you can definitely hear that kind of sense of journey. Yeah. Interesting. So you were led, not only by just playing with these instruments, but you wanted to capture it and go from there.
Capture it. Yeah. Mm. This is basically.
And how did you get access to that equipment at such an early age, though? Did your father also have this equipment in the house that you could use and explore, or did you just kind of invest as you got older?
I was working in a big company. They sell instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Very big company. And I could buy a lot of recording gear. I was working there in the recording studio department.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time figuring out what kind of studio gear is best. And I don't know, I this is how I get access to the real recording stuff. Of course, back in the days when I was like, let's say like 15 years old. So it starts when I was 15 years old to record. I mean, it was really with a cheap setup. I actually had a computer and just an internal sound card. And I really just put things into an internal sound card. I didn't have an audio interface. I didn't have anything. And I started like every other recording guy with my first audio interface.
Absolutely.
And a two-channel audio interface.
Classic. Just like,
and I was using a free program to record all that stuff. Mm-hmm. This is how it worked. And then, yes, and then I started at this company. And I could really...
Just kind of experiment, I guess. And
yes.
Like you said, you're exposed to so many different technologies. You can see which is good, which works for you personally.
Yeah, anyway,
techniques.
If you are in this kind of business, you have kind of love to that instrument and to that studio technique. So you just buy things and try it out. And I mean, all the time when I had a new instrument or a new gear, I really made something out of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't just bought it and just tried it. I really used it. I bought it, and at the same time I used it basically for a new song. Or it really helped me to develop all the sounds.
Yeah, and that concept might sound weird for a lot of like people listening out there, not involved with audio or music.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you kind of get involved with it, there is a part of you that just wants to
always
purchase gear, interact with it,
always
experience it, and not really use it functionally. So it's good to hear that you actually, you know, buy something, use it, and you get a usable result. Sorry. But moving on, we were just wondering, you mentioned your father been like a big influence,
mm-hmm.
but do you have any other influences in terms of artists or other people, friends, perhaps, that help you along your journey?
Yeah, of course. I was growing up near Erlangen, actually.
Mm-hmm. So that's where this office is based for those of you who don't know. We are in Erlangen right now. So
yeah. And all my friends was actually kind of musicians. I mean, we was not that kind of people. When we was young, we was not going into a disco or something like that or a club.
Mm.
We was the kind of people who grab a guitar and just make home parties or
that's cool.
I don't know, just relax and
that's
wholesome.
That's wholesome. Yeah.
That kind of people, you know, and everybody could play a guitar in some way. And
so it just met and then jammed a bit.
Yes. And this is actually also how I started with my first bands. So a lot of my friends actually were bandmates.
Mm-hmm.
So
and they were, it's like a catalyst, isn't it? When you've got this small kind of collective of people all playing instruments, that motivates you to get better and then share things you've learned. And I had a similar kind of experience. And likewise, you started within music as well, Niels, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I had like a major influence. I'm more into like electronic music production. I was more into it.
Mm.
So I had some DJs, which I looked up to. Mm. And that's how it started for me, basically.
And we could talk for days about this. So
weeks.
We might. I think we were planning a full series, aren't we? The audio podcast, right?
I just have one question that interests me. Because in the FS22 theme song, you can hear guitars, right?
Yeah.
Did you play them by yourself or did you hire someone? Because you said you're not really into playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you do that?
Actually, I composed the song, and to make it happen, I really want to, actually, first I really wanted to have a great song mm-hmm. for you guys. So that, I mean, it has to be, obviously, because it's a main menu song. So sure. Of course, I hired some people. Yeah. For that. So I hired a guitar player, which is a friend, which is Rainer Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good guitar player. And Matt Maxwell plays the bass guitar. Matt Maxwell is a really good bass guitar player. He actually plays with Luke Combs, who is a really a famous country rock singer in the United States. And I was hiring another guy who plays the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
How is he called? Leon Vanekmond. I had a little conversation with him. So yeah, this is basically all the stuff. So I play the drums, keyboards, the organ, the piano, the effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of effects inside. Maybe you can't hear them at the first time, but there are some effects.
And usually, from my knowledge, when you collaborate like with multiple musicians mm-hmm. in that kind of environment, the composer, the producer yourself could mm-hmm. kind of go two ways. You could first create the music, mm-hmm. everything, you write all the bass parts, the drums, the guitar, and then the musicians simply play it.
Exactly.
Or it's more of like this organic kind of improvisation, then you refine it. How was
depends,
it for you?
Depends yeah. on. I mean, the harmonica was really easy because, I mean, there are, it's a blues harp. So you have this basic blues
scale.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt Maxwell is a very professional bass player.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also he just played the bass and he knew what he was doing because of course he plays bass since a long time and also in this rock band.
Yeah, similar so genre.
There's nothing
right
to talk about. And Rainer Meyer played the guitar. I mean, this is something I made before. So I make a guitar demo.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, can you play it like this? Because of course I had a vision of the song and it was also heavily influenced by other tracks, other different country tracks. And I knew, okay, I want guitar in that way. And then he played it, but of course, played it a lot better.
Yes, so do you remember which was the first part, like the first melody you had written or you had in your head for the theme song?
Yeah.
Because you build it up, like did you have the drums at first or did you have the bass?
I had the rhythm at first.
The rhythm.
Nice. Yes, the rhythm, all the right. drum rhythm. It was actually inspired, actually inspired by a Frank Zappa song from his album Joe's Garage.
Right,
all right.
It's an awesome album. It has awesome drum sounds. I think this is one of the most beautiful drum sounds I ever heard on a recording. I love it, and one of the songs. I don't think I can name it because
This can be a bit questionable. Some of his song titles. I wouldn't have guessed actually Frank Zappa. Yeah, but he's so broad. He's like
I mean, if you listen to the album, you will recognize it. I think
very cool. There you go. That's a hint. And what other projects have you been involved with, by the way? Away from Farming Simulator? Could be games, could be TV or bands even.
Actually, of course, I have my own projects.
Mm-hmm.
So my own music that I record and albums that I want to release. More albums to come,
mm-hmm.
awesome. Hopefully.
Do you release them?
I release them awesome. By myself.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I was working on another computer game, which was more like an indie game. It was an indie horror game.
Mm-hmm.
I love to make that horror game type of things also because it has a lot of mood and this kind of storytelling.
It's true.
It's a small indie developer, but it was a nice experience. I love it. And I have a band right now in the studio. It's a Spanish rock band. So they have a Spanish vocalist and
cool. Okay, another question. It's just like a random question, but do you have perfect pitch?
And for those who don't know what that is, it's where someone could play the sound of a piano note, and you can identify exactly which note it is, or even a chord, right?
No, I don't.
Nah. It's so rare, right?
We need that. Must be so hard.
That's, yeah. Good for you that you said no, because there would have been a very detailed tonal test
absolutely
to feature then. Yeah, so
maybe challenge. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah. Is there a difference between writing music for video games and writing, like, let's say, standard consumer music?
I don't do standard consumer music, so...
or like producing music producing music for your band or...
Of course, it's totally different because the band comes into the studio and they have their songs. So they just plug his guitar somewhere, or we're setting up the drums, the microphones or the MIDI drums or whatever, and then they start playing. So I just have to record, and of course, sometimes I love to give some advice and say, okay, maybe you can do it like this and links up, but it's not my main influence on that. Mm. So if you compose a song from the ground, then of course you start with different stuff, and I can do the kind of storytelling style of music in video games as well. So I also... my private albums that I make is a lot of storytelling. So it's like instrumental music. I work now on an album which is 15 minutes long. Everything comes together. So it's not in divided in songs or something. It's just a 15 minutes piece with a long story, you know. And this is basically what I love to make. And this is also where it comes into the video game stuff, because I think video game music is a lot of storytelling. So you have to, I mean, of course the people play, but in the background you always have that there's a story going there. It has to fit with the...
It's like this overarching atmosphere, isn't it? The narrative that you've got to kind of work with.
And of course, if you work for somebody or compose music for somebody, you have to figure out what kind of mood he actually wants, or what kind of style he wants. Obviously, it's a country rock song here, and it was clear from the beginning that it will be a country rock style song. I don't know. And also with this a Farming Simulator Academy, it was clear that it's that kind of chilling, I don't know, that kind of a relaxing background music.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, a bit more ambient. Making it easy to learn since it's a tutorial series. You mentioned that just creating songs from the ground up. Did you ever encounter kind of a creative block? So not rather like a technical skill that you're unsure of, but like more of a psychological block before you create things? And if so, how do you overcome that?
Yes, I think everybody has that. I mean, you really have to get in a specific mood, I think, to really are able to create something new. And I think I just start to do nothing. I mean, I just start to relax or playing video games or...
Farm Sim, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And just try to relax. And maybe you have to just relax for 1 or 2 days or for a week or I don't know, you just wait. And then suddenly you have an idea. And then you start again. So I think this is the most, you cannot really put too much pressure on it. Mm. I think you really have to step back and say, okay, it doesn't work now. Let's drink some more coffee and relax. Let's wait some days, and then it comes from alone, basically.
Is there like a psychological difference for you in... When you know, for example, when you wrote the music for FS22, you obviously knew that like millions of people will hear that. Mm-hmm. Did that influence you in some kind of way?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you always try to make sure that everything sounds good and is equal. And but of course, it was kind of I was so happy, of course, to. to do that, and of course I try to make sure that everything is as best as possible.
Now you can hear that the production value is very high.
Thank you.
Fits perfectly the aesthetic of the game. Really awesome. Nicely composed. Yeah, I'm sure the listeners agree out there.
Yeah, 100%. I realized, of course, I read some comments because it was uploading that music in the internet, and I think the most of the people really liked it. So
yeah, it's interesting because obviously we're developing the game, and myself and Niels are like the audio team essentially, and we've had to mix the full game, including your music. And how many times do you think we've heard Daniel's?
Oh,
thousands?
No, probably, yeah. Yeah.
And it's I find myself like on vacation, and it's like,
just
looping along in my head. So it will forever be a part of my life.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that was a great insight into your work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really fascinating. Thanks for coming.
Thanks
for visiting. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to have you. Yeah. All right. So back to you, Lars and Kermit.
Bye bye, guys.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Well, we're back. Thank you, Chris, Niels, and Daniel, for that insight into the music of Farming Simulator. That was pretty interesting stuff, Lars.
Absolutely.
And
was. Like, it absolutely was.
People, I love the menu song, especially for FS22. I was just talking to you about it before we did the recording, and I saw a TikTok video someone did where they were like talking about, you know, the team in the studio making the Farming Simulator 22 menu song, and it was just like a picture or a gif of like a bunch of rappers in the studio like getting down to the song. I thought that was pretty funny.
It's always awesome to see how these things come together. I think so. It's the one guy you pretty much never talk to, right? We talk a lot to all the devs out there, of course, to our sound team as well, but the composer, that's something you rarely see. So it's awesome to get a couple of insights from him, actually. And I don't think, oh no, I have done it before once. I had one interview with a composer before, but that's something a community manager never gets to do, really.
Right. Especially like you're like for a video game Farming Simulator, that's like not the first thing you think of. But yeah, music is a part of our game, and it was definitely cool to see that insight. All right, Lars, we're going to do like basically a question and answer type thing, mainly based around Gurvile to end the podcast today, because we announced the new DLC and the community has asked us a few questions about the DLC, and we've gotten some answers to some of the questions, not all.
Yes. Yeah, and then I would like to stress that we also selected a couple of questions here for the sole reason that these podcasts, because it's a podcast, we don't know when you are listening to it. Maybe you listen to it on the day we release it. Maybe you are listening to it right now and it's 2025 and you just feel like listening to an old podcast. So the questions we picked are questions that a player might have about Gurvile or about the game in general, but they are not so much questions about, when are you going to change anything, or what about this and that, because this might have changed by the time you're listening to the podcast. So these questions are very general. It's a general approach of basically transporting information about the DLC that is still valuable 10 years from now, right? So don't be confused if your question is not in that podcast. That's what I'm saying. Head over to our social media, head over to Discord, head over to the community team in general, and we try to answer the questions as best as we can, pretty much 7 days a week. No, that's a lie. 5 days a week. I mean, we are on Discord on weekends as well. We are just not that chatty on weekends, but you can totally reach us. But yeah, that's the reason why it is not a lengthy Q&A with like hundreds of questions, but a selected few that make sense in a podcast environment, basically.
Yeah, well said. Should we get started on them?
Let's get started.
All right, so the first one we had is it still possible to turn chaff into silage with the use of bunker silos? And the answer is, yeah, of course. Like, we're not taking anything away. The Gurvile balers only give you an additional option for baling chop material and other bulk materials. It's adding, by the way, I don't think we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, it's adding corn silage, sugar beet pulp, and TMR bales in addition to the grass, hay, and straw that already exists in the game. So nothing's being taken away. You can still choose to use the bunker silos if that's how you prefer to do your silage. As we said earlier, the great thing about Farming Simulator, play it the way you want to.
Absolutely. And this is a general approach that we have. So whenever we release a DLC, it will never take things away. Right? There will never be a DLC and then all of a sudden you have less options than you had before, or maybe the same amount of options, but different ones, because we scrapped some and brought some new in. That's not what we do. We add to what we have to basically give you more options of playing the game your way to want it to. So yeah, we will never, well, I'm not saying never ever remove anything, because you shouldn't in game development, but there are no plans whatsoever to have a DLC that for some reason makes anything completely unimportant, basically.
Right. Well said. I think I actually like answered three of the questions and I didn't realize that I did it, because the next question was, is there a new kind of silage? And yes, technically now you will have corn silage bales. And so now that's a thing now with this DLC. And to transition from that, there was a question that was being asked, well, does that mean we can use corn stalks for bales? And the answer to that one is no, only corn chaff at this time with this
DLC. Absolutely. So I'm going to do the next one. That one is amazing anyway. I love it. I got the best one.
Yeah, you did.
I actually did, because I think it's the answer will excite a lot of people. Is there a bale limit increase for console? So I'm going to start off with the bad news here. There is not. We're going to keep the limit where it is right now. We are still monitoring it. We are still making sure that everything is smooth. And I think we mentioned it before. The reason why the bail limit is at the point where it is because we need to make sure that consoles are basically able to run everything smooth, that you don't have any issues. And we've seen people just creating unbelievable amounts of bales and then getting the console to crash, and that wouldn't help. So we had to put in a limit. We already increased it twice, I think, and we keep an close eye on it, and that would be fine. That being said, and this is the exciting part of this answer, what we're going to do is we will introduce a bale or pallet storage system with not Gurvile, this is the most important part here, but with the patch that comes with Gurvile, basically. It's 1.9. It's a patch that I don't think we have ever mentioned it so far, but it's coming, and it will have the bale and pallet storage. What that means is basically that you can put in bales into that storage, and they are basically off the map. They are not there. They are stored, and you can, of course, get them back out once you need them. And this will help with the limits. So, I mean, if you feel like you need thousands of bales just lying on the fields, you are still having the same issues you had before 1.9. But if you just want to have 1,000 bales and 500 of them can be in a storage somewhere, then you should be fine. And this will help. It's a very, very highly requested feature. I've seen so many people asking for this, and our developers made it possible, and it will be in 1.9, which means that even if you don't buy Gurvile, you're gonna have this option, right? Because it's not tied to Gurvile at all. It's the 1.9 patch bringing that option to you. If you don't buy the DLC for whatever reason, because you should, it's amazing, but if you don't buy the DLC for whatever reason, you still get the benefits of this.
That is great news, to be honest. Like, you definitely got the best question to give the answer for. And you're right, this wasn't in the blog, so this is very likely going to be the first time that you hear about this if you're listening to it and you know the near future of when we release the podcast. This will be the first time you hear this news about this storage system, and I think this is huge, not just for console players but PC too, because I know I've played before on a map that had this sort of mod added into it where you could put your bales in and then get them back out. And I am kind of a neat freak when it comes to my farmyard and farming simulators. So I am definitely going to be utilizing this. And as a console player on 22, I used to play a lot on PC before, but with 22, my wife and I play it together on our Xboxes. And so this is going to be huge to be able to get in and store these bales so that we don't have to worry about the limit and we keep things nice and clean. I think people will be excited that this will be added into Farming Simulator with a patch. I mean, it's basically like a free content update. You all get it. That's awesome.
Absolutely is. And I think we actually should stop this podcast on this high note, not gonna lie. So therefore, I feel like this should be it for today. Well, thank you, Niels, Chris, and Daniel. Thank you, Kermit, of course.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone out there for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you did, shoot us a message, tell us that we are awesome. If you didn't like it, still shoot us a message, tell us what we could do better, and we will be back next month with a very interesting interview, I can promise you that, and I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I'm here, maybe Chucky is here, Kermit is here for sure, everyone might be here, we're gonna see about that. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.